Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And welcome to episode 1043. You have no idea how special that number is to us. But this is episode 1043 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
Yo.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, and no Danny this week. He will be back on the next episode, and of course he misses episode 1043.
Of course.
Because of course he does. No, but Danny's taking care of some personal stuff on this episode. But like I said, he will be back and he is missed. So I'm the captain. There'll be no interruptions. There'll be no telling me what to do. I'm running this episode. Not you, Danny, but I love you. So again, Gamertag Radio, episode 1043. Thank you, everyone. Everyone is watching us live on Twitch. Everyone is listening to us. You can find us on your favorite RSS feed catcher. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Music, we're literally everywhere. You can subscribe to Gamertag Radio, and obviously, like I said, you can watch us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio. We typically like to record every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, and when we get back to our normal schedule, we also record live on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. So, Pete, there has been a lot going on this week. I may or may not have played Cyberpunk 2077 for almost 5 hours. I may or may not have a 41-minute impressions, audio and video out, and I may or may not have a 25-minute gameplay video out on my YouTube channel as well. But we'll get into Cyberpunk 2077 in a little bit. What I want to do right now is I want to play a voicemail, and we're going to talk about The Last of Us 2, but let's play that voicemail first.
Hey guys, this is Tony from Toronto, Canada. I just wanted to hear your insight on the hate that The Last of Us Part 2 has been getting. I just finished the game recently. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed the story, and I really enjoyed the characters a lot. I think it's one of the best games ever made, personally. But I find that it's been getting a lot of hate, a lot of unjust hate, too. I think a lot of people just jumping on the bandwagon, and they're just basing it off of some of the events they may have seen earlier on in the game, or some leaks that they may have seen and read, which I don't think is fair. I think this is a game that needs to be played throughout its entirety, from beginning to end, to really get an understanding and really feeling for what the game is about and what it is. But yeah, I just wanted to hear what you guys think of it. I know you guys obviously you can't say any spoilers or anything, but just a quick insight of what you guys think of the game so far. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. And like I said at the top, this is about The Last of Us 2. So full disclosure, I have played The Last of Us 2 from start to finish. And I want to thank PlayStation for providing me the review code for that. I got it about 3 days before it launched, and I know I kind of vaguely tweeted a little bit about it, that I had completed it and I had a lot of thoughts, but I wanted to kind of sit on it a little bit before I talked about it. If you heard me on DLC with Jeff Cannata and Christian Spicer, we got into it a little bit on there as well, but I'm not going to spoil anything for The Last of Us 2, but I want to be kind of clear on my thoughts about The Last of Us 2, and I'm just going to tell you right now, honestly, for me, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't. It's not the game I wanted it to be. But I also understand what Neil Druckmann and what Naughty Dog was attempting to do. I just don't think they stuck the landing for me. And this is from a story-wise standpoint. This is not from this is a technical achievement, what this game is. To be running on a PlayStation 4 and to look as great as it does, just the open areas that you can, just the gameplay mechanics that are there, the facial animations that Naughty Dog was able to pull off on there. These characters were clearly emoting while I played, and I believed as the things that I was seeing happening on screen. I just didn't like the story. I mean, it really comes down to that. There were two key moments where I go, what? No, I don't think I like this. One of them, and again, no spoilers, please, anyone that's watching this live on Twitch, please don't spoil it in the chat, but there were two moments that I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. And one specifically is literally my Metal Gear Solid 2. That's what this is for me. And I was like, I don't like this. This is not what I came here for. I feel like my play time was about 23 hours. And I'm going to be honest with you, probably about 8 hours too much. Just to be honest, I almost felt like there was some filler in there to kind of just keep me busy playing. I would say if the gameplay loop was very challenging and very intense and fun, maybe I wouldn't have minded the extra hours that they had me spend in the world. But this game is just so brutal. And the fact that I was not a fan of the actual storyline from start to finish, and that's why I wanted to play this voicemail, because I do feel there is just some people piling on, just saying, hey, yeah, I hate The Last of Us 2, social justice warriors, blah, 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 that whole thing. It's not that. It's just I felt they betray what the original game meant to me. I felt they retconned some things from the original game to fit the storyline here in part two. And again, I know I keep dancing around the big thing, but there is a huge character moment that happens. And I'm like, no, no, this is not what I wanted. And I understand the brutality of The Last of Us 2. I understand that this world is not meant to have a happy ending. And that's not even what I was looking for. It's just the way it went down. Wasn't for me. It just simply was not for me. I can understand a lot of people enjoying this game. I can understand, like I said, just playing it, the technical marvel that it is, the big environment, which I almost think is a blessing and a curse for the game. I almost feel like it's a little too open. I felt tighter quarters would have been better in this setting. Again, this is where I think they kind of just extended the gameplay to have you traveling for places and doing stuff like that I don't necessarily know was needed. But it's not a horrible game. But it's not the 10 out of 10 that I've been seeing either. It probably, for me, if I had to put a number on it, I'd probably put it around like an 8.5 or something. And that clearly lands on the story for me. I just did not enjoy this story. I did not enjoy the ending to this game. I do not want to see a Last of Us Part 3. End it. I don't need DLC, anything. End it. I feel this took away from the original game. And if people remember back when the original game came out, I didn't like the gameplay. I didn't like the controls, so I didn't complete it right away. But that story was so good, it forced me to say, you know what, suck it up and deal with it, because you got to finish it. I finished it and it was incredible. This, I finished it and I go, ah, good, I'm done. I don't have to play this anymore. So like I said, I'm not going to spoil anything. Maybe in another month or two I'll revisit this. I know Jeff Cannata, they were talking about having me come back on and we just do like a spoiler cast or something. I'll revisit it and go more in depth on exactly those two key moments that I didn't like and why it just turned me off from the game. And again, to be clear, it's not a bad game. If you have The Last of Us 2 and you enjoy it, absolutely enjoy it. I'm not trying to take away from that. What I'm saying is I feel it probably got a little overhyped. I think there were just too many 10 out of 10s. 10 out of 10 to me means a perfect game, and it's not. I think if the anticipation and expectation could have been dialed down just a bit, that would have been more realistic. But I will say for me on a personal level, two story moments, and especially one, I'm like, nope, this is not what I signed up for. This is not the game for me. So I know I've talked a lot, Pete. Thoughts on any of this? I know you haven't played it, but just from the outside looking in, what do you think?
Like you said, I have not played it. I don't have a console at this time. I have not purchased one. I don't know if I would go out and buy one now just for this game, even though it may be worth it. Maybe later, once the 5 comes out, maybe I'll have a little bit more, you know, encouragement to go get it. I have a feeling that I think this might become a Sony trope, right? Where Sony games tend to have that super filler moment now. We saw it in Spider-Man. We see it in The Last of Us 2. Mm-hmm. For me, there was a lot of that in Horizon Zero Dawn. And I kind of feel that it's kind of their thing, right? Maybe it's just a wider thing for games development in general, where, I mean, how we saw it in Assassin's Creed. So maybe it's not just that. Maybe it's not just a Sony thing. But the last couple of titles that I've seen, I've felt that way, right? Where there's moments where it's like, okay, this is just like a fetch a quest that wasn't really necessary, or this mission here wasn't, you know, a requirement for the game or the story to continue. Again, that's more of an indictment on the game industry in general, as opposed to, you know, this title or towards Sony's brand of storytelling. That being said, I am intrigued. I do want to play it, A, because I did play The Last of Us, the first iteration back in 2013, so 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I did play that. I mean, that first scene in the game, and I know I'm spoiler Pete, but I'm not going to ruin it for those who haven't. You haven't, as a father, that broke me down and gave me an idea of what I was going to deal with for the rest of that. So that being said, I don't know how and when I'll pick it up. Maybe I'll pick it up when, you know, in the holiday season when the PS5 comes out, and I'll experience it then. I am trying to stay spoiler free. I don't know how well I'll be able to do that for the next couple of months. Hopefully I'll get to experience it without any spoilers. But I am curious. I do want to experience it just because it's a continuation of the story. I just hope that it doesn't. Those filler moments don't get me to the point where I just put down the controller and I don't come back.
No, and that's fair. That's fair. It's so tough because I know I'm sounding extremely negative about everything that I'm saying, but I at the same token, I would say for anyone that has played the first game, I almost want to suggest go play it so you can see for yourself and understand how I feel about it, because I think we have an investment in these characters. We have an investment in Ellie and Joel. I'll say that much. I am very invested in those two characters. I am very invested in their arc. So I was let down to see where their arcs end up. Let's just put it that way without spoiling anything. Here's a suggestion. I'm not going to tell anyone to go spend $60 right now and run out and go play The Last of Us 2. But in some point in time, be it you borrow it from someone, if you got a physical disc, or it's on sale for $30 or something like that, go play it. Go play it. Judge it for yourself. And then, you know, you can come back and yell at me and tell me how wrong I was. But for me, it just didn't land the way I wanted it to. And now I'll just leave it at that.
And going to the violence or the brutality factor, that doesn't bother me as much, so I'm okay with that. My main concern was, you know, the those filler moments, but again, I'm looking forward to playing it eventually, just to see how it continued that story, you know, the storyline from one. And I guess that would be my only question: is does it, right? Does it continue the story well, right? And, you know, between Ellie and That's basically it. So I'll just hold off on commentary until then.
Fair enough. So that's The Last of Us 2. I kind of wanted to kick off the episode and talk about that because I had kind of been putting off giving my thoughts. So again, matter of fact, right now on cue, you want to leave us feedback? Here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So again, leave us feedback. Let us know what you think about The Last of Us 2. So let's transition. And I want to transition into talking about Cyberpunk 2022. I want to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. It's been a week. But before we get into that, I want to play another voicemail because I think this just sets everything up perfectly. So here we go.
Hello, Gamertag Radio. This is Craig from South Carolina. I just got finishing listening to Paris' Cyberpunk 2077, his reaction to playing the 4-hour demo. And I just want to say that Paris, you did an excellent job recapping everything. I'm even more excited The question I have is, I didn't really hear too much detail on how much the graphics have changed for this game. How much you could just give us an idea of how good this game truly looks. Thanks for everything. You guys rock.
All right. Thank you for that voicemail. And Pete, don't let me forget to answer his question about the graphics, but I'll get to that during the normal conversation. So Cyberpunk 2077, you guys already know, anyone that's been following Gamertag Radio over the last couple of years, I've been pretty much obsessed with this game ever since Danny and Pete recorded that video, that reaction at E3 2018. And I walked out and I said, this is Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell, and Blade Runner. Went viral, the rest is history. So I had two amazing opportunities this week. The first one being I actually got to play the game for almost 5 hours. The second being I got to be a co-host on the pre and post show for IGN, their Summer of Gaming for Night City Wire. It was amazing. It's amazing. It's just a sneak peek with IGN. It's amazing being able to see the back end of how all their production works, especially now in this remote COVID world. Fascinating stuff. So I'll tell you this, if you go back and watch and you hear me talking and I stop and pause for a couple times, it's because I have a producer in my ear the entire time. And one of the producers forgot to mute himself. So he's just talking. I thought he was talking to me, but he wasn't. And it threw me off. But anyways, so again, thank you to IGN. More specifically, I want to thank Ryan McCaffrey because this was his idea and he reached out to me and asked me to be a part of this. And it was just amazing. All the feedback I've had internally from IGN has been great. And it probably won't be the last time you see me on IGN. So we'll see what happens in the future. But you guys don't care about that. You care about Cyberpunk 2077. So yes, I played it. I talked about this during the preview, which the voicemail, thank you for just all the amazing feedback I've been getting on the preview. I talked for 41 minutes about this game, so I won't recap all that here. Absolutely go back and listen to my thoughts on Cyberpunk 2077 on the previous episode of Gamertag Radio, or you can watch the video on my YouTube channel. But I'll say this. So from a technical standpoint, I did cloud streaming to play. Obviously, with COVID-19, I couldn't do an in-person event. So I played it here at home with an Xbox One controller over cloud streaming. Originally on GeForce Now is where I started. It wasn't GeForce Now. It was something with the server, the build they had me on that server. It was weird. It wasn't loading in correctly. So it didn't look right. So we stopped. And then they put me on Parsec. So then I hopped over onto Parsec and I played no issues at all. I played just fine. But yeah, man, it was an amazing experience because like I've said before, Night City's alive. That world is alive. And it was a great just being in the world. And even though I was doing missions and I repeated a lot of stuff that was from the E3 2018 demo, the best parts of the game was just me walking around. It was just driving. Like I'll say people live on Twitch. I do that live wallpaper of Night City that comes from the E3 2019 trailer. I did that. I saw this in the game. It was during the daytime when I saw it, but I literally saw this. I was a freaking tourist the entire time. I was just trying to look at everything in that game. And to answer the voicemail's question graphically, oh yeah, there's been an upgrade. You see it in the trailer. Just look at Johnny Silverhand at the very end compared to what he looked like in 2019. Definite upgrade. Look at Victor, your Ripper Doc. Upgrade. A lot of things, even just look at the detail in Jackie, because Jackie's with you a lot while we played. Amazing, you know? So yeah, it's gonna, like, they needed this extra time to get to November. I totally get it playing it. I understood why they're delaying it 2 months. The game's done. You know, the dev that was moving to me the entire time, we talked about this a lot. They're done. They actively play this game from start to finish all the time during their testing and bug squashing. But that's the thing. I did see bugs while I played, you know, but nothing game breaking, just clipping. You know, Jackie would hop on his motorcycle, drive away, and all of a sudden he's back right where he started again. Little weird glitches like that. I also saw just a few things with NPC, like I said, the clipping stuff, NPCs would like walk through each other, little things like that, that don't take away from the game, but you do notice them. I think my biggest nitpick, and it's so funny because the opinions just across the industry right now have been varied on this, but wasn't a fan of the driving, wasn't a fan of the Quadra. I thought it was too sensitive. I think it's a combination of input lag from cloud streaming, as well as I just think it's too sensitive. Again, the dev and I talked about this and they're having discussions internally about it. So expect that to get tweaked. And it was funny, SkillUp, he's a YouTuber, big YouTuber. He also got to play as well. He actually enjoyed the driving, but he also cheated and did something I didn't realize you can do. So you can't in the build we're playing, your skill level isn't high enough to hijack another car like Grand Theft Auto style, which I think is a cool RPG element to this game. But he cheated and shot a driver in the head and then died so then he could take the car. So he did get to drive a different car. So it had a different feel to it versus the Quadra. So like I said, I think he cheated with doing that. But for me, I didn't like the driving. I know some other people didn't like the driving. But another nitpick that I have was the actual gunplay in it. The gunplay and the melee combat. I thought the gunplay, it felt off. But as I'm talking with the dev, he explained to me, this is an RPG. And you'll hear me say this on IGN. But this is an RPG. This is not Call of Duty or Destiny. People going in need to wrap their head around that. Yes, it's in first person view, but this is not a first person shooter. So you have to actually upgrade your skill with weapons. And one of the main ways you do it is to just keep using a weapon type over and over. The more you use handguns, the better skilled you're going to be at using handguns, right? Again, it's an RPG. So you have to have that mentality. And I swear to you, when the dev pointed that out to me, it all of a sudden my mentality changed completely. I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. Had a lot more fun with the gunplay at that point. The melee combat needs work for sure. The only real time I used melee was during the tutorial, and it was the hand-to-hand melee combat. And again, it's like a three thing where you have to block, you have to counter, you know, you do your punches, you hold down, you can do a harder punch, stuff like that. There's also sword play in there as well. And the only time I did sword play was in the tutorial. Not the best. I mean, it can be tweaked is the point I'm trying to make here. It can be improved, which again is why they're taking more time to work on things like this. I did do a little bit of melee actually in the game, like when I was with the Maelstrom gang and I'm fighting to get out. It just didn't feel fun is the best way to put it. Another thing is brain dance. And I've seen some varying opinions about this. I've seen people that absolutely love it like I do. I've seen people that absolutely hate it, right? So to me, it is the love child of the Witcher senses and the Batman Arkham series detective mode. They basically combined those two things together and they've made it more of an interactive mini game puzzle, right? If it's used in the correct scenarios, I think it could be a lot of fun for problem solving things. Now, I do agree with what some other people have said. Maybe this shouldn't be a mandatory thing that people have to do in the game to solve certain things, because not everyone's going to enjoy it, clearly. But if it's a nice optional thing, if they can be used in a way to give you additional information to solve a certain scenario, I think that would be great, where you're not forced to do it. But if you do it, you will be rewarded for it. Right. But I enjoyed it personally. I thought it was great. Like, you have the initial one that you've seen in some of the gameplay stuff I put out during Night City Wire. That's more like the tutorial for it. But there is a second scenario where it's Yorinobu Arasaka. You have to go to his penthouse, and it's from Evelyn's point of view. It's from her memory, and you have to find the biochip tech in his penthouse, right? I like that. I like that scenario of problem solving with it. I thought it was a lot better than the one that you see in the trailers, right? So I think there's a lot of potential there. And brain dance is a real thing, you know, from the cyberpunk lore as well. So the fact that they brought it into the game is great. But like I said, overall, amazing experience playing. I literally could have walked around the entire time. Like I said, the city feels alive. The ambiance in the city, it feels lived in, it feels old, it feels like it's been around a long time. V is not the center of attention in Night City. V is just another man or woman or whatever you want to call V, depending on your creative character, in that world. right? Like I actually drove by at one point. I saw a full on gang versus the police shootout happening. And I look and I go, do I interfere? Nope. Kept going. I was like, this is not my problem. But that's the how interactive all the NPC stuff that's happening in this world. If you take the time to actually listen to some of the conversations that are happening or follow an NPC on their routine, they're literally living out their lives in this world. I also noticed, and I keep referencing SkillUp, but SkillUp also noticed that the NPC density compared to E3 2018 was slightly less. I personally didn't notice it. I think I was just so immersed in the world that it didn't matter to me. I've seen a lot of people, oh, the city's empty, this and that. It's not. Trust me, it's not. At night it is, but it should be because it's nighttime. So you're not going to have as many people out. When I was walking around during the day, the world felt populated to me. It felt good. I didn't feel like, ooh, this is a downgrade. What's going on here? Didn't feel that at all. It felt really good to me. But I will just say the highlight again for me is Night City itself, the NPC characterizations that are going on. Also, just the smooth transition into dialogue from doing whatever in the world to like I'm talking to Jackie or I'm talking to Dexter Deshawn or something and the various options. And I'll shut up after this one. It really, like I was a corpo. So that's how I started out. It's in the preview, but I was a corpo. So I was having corporal options. So when you meet with, it's Meredith, right? I think it's Meredith. Meredith, the corporal agent that you see from the 2018 demo, and she gives you that chip that has a virus on it. I knew it was a virus on it beforehand because I'm former corpo, so I know the tricks. So I call her out on it. And because I call her out on it, she gets flustered for a second, tries to alter the deal. I try to counter her alter. She didn't like it. So I basically say, F you, deal off. We're not doing it. So they leave. They walk away. And then I have to go retrieve the flathead from the Maelstrom gang without any assistance from her at all. So that completely changed the scenario that you saw in the 2018 demo. Another thing that happens inside the Maelstrom gang hideout is I wind up shooting Royce in the head during the initial standoff. So I kill him right away, take the flathead, never have that mini boss encounter with him. So right there shows you the branching storylines and how things can change just depending on your dialogue. It's fantastic. The game will be fantastic. Like I said, you've seen now the actual 4K renders of it. It's going to be amazing on PC with ray tracing, the whole thing. Hey, NVIDIA, I need that 3080 Ti. So hook your boy up before September. It better be out when it comes out in November, right? But it's going to be amazing. It'll be interesting to see what Cyberpunk looks like on the consoles. I think it will look great on the 1X and the PS4 Pro, but I am dying, absolutely dying to see what this will look like on the original Xbox One because I don't think it's going to be good. But we'll see. And then obviously we're going to get the enhanced versions on Series X and PlayStation 5. So a couple extra months we're going to have to wait. But from my hands-on time, the wait will be worth it. Trust me on that. It was and I did it cloud streaming. It wasn't even, you know, on an actual PC here at my home. Game looked great, played great. There's some bugs to squash in it. But when we get to Night City, I think everyone is going to have a great time. So I know that was super long, Pete, but your thoughts. I just had to get it out.
No. It's the whole patience thing. You know, we've got kids, so I've learned to wait. I know because I was watching, we were doing the co-stream here during the IGN show and, you know, talked about it here. You mentioned your concerns about the driving and I did see you guys going back and forth. I think it was you and Miles maybe, or Pavel or something on Twitter. If you could identify or if you could use a game that is comparative to that and how it feels, can you throw that up out of nowhere? Like to say, okay, it felt like a warthog while driving.
You're talking the Quadra.
Yeah. Or just in general. It doesn't have to be even specific. Just give me like a generalization.
You know what it felt like? It felt like, and I'm going to screw up the actual model car. It felt like I was trying to play Gran Turismo and not knowing what the hell I was doing. And I'm just sliding all over the track.
Gotcha. It's like you're in an F1 overpowering it.
There, it was overpowering. And I think some of that has to do with input lag. And that's what I mean. It was too sensitive. Mm-hmm. Like I slightly hit left. All of a sudden I'm crashing into a wall. Like I couldn't drive fast because if you drive fast, you had no control. If I slowed down, fine, I can traverse. But again, I'm in a Quadra. I'm in this high powered car. You want to be able to drive it at high speeds through the city and not worrying about crashing. I mean, there is some drift and things that you can do in there. It just needs tweaking. And again, we were having a conversation about this while playing, so they're aware. I mean, they know it's not perfect right now, so it will get tweaked. But he also pointed out, and I agree, this is a high-performance sports car, so it should handle like a high-performance sports car as well. So that's why I wish I could have cheated like SkillUp did and gotten into another car to compare, and maybe my commentary would be different here, mm-hmm. and there will be different games. Oh, the car customization has been taken out. That's one thing they've taken out. They've taken out car customization, and they've also taken out the techie as well because it was too close to the Netrunner. So right now we got Netrunner and Solo as far as kind of the classic classes, the classes that you can, kind of lean towards. But that's another thing I didn't mention. Now, the UI has been overhauled. When you get into the menu system for just all your perks and skills, it's like this giant spider web. It's really cool to see. And you can pick all the perks that you want and do all that and obviously throw your points into them. It's very intuitive and cool. I know some people thought it might have been a little bit overwhelming.
Right.
To me, it reminded me a lot of Fallout 3 as an example. If you kind of remember the way the perk system worked in that, it's in a more advanced version of it for sure. But I didn't find it overwhelming.
Okay. All right. From a technical perspective, I know you commented on how well it looked in comparison from the original, gameplay sessions that we saw versus now. And, throw on top, mm-hmm. I'm sure that there was some form of compression because you were playing through Parsec, I think, or something like that was the software yep. tool. Mm-hmm. Do you think that because you're playing it remotely, aside, input lag aside, do you think that there was a significant compression on the video graphics that you were experiencing on screen? Or do you think that once we go live in September that, any artifacting or anything that you saw from the compression going over Parsec or, GeForce, experience, do you think that will go away? And how much,
yes.
how much do you think that you experienced? How much was there? Like, was it noticeable?
It wasn't bad, a little noticeable, but it wasn't bad. Again, if you've done GeForce Now or Stadia or anything like that, you already know kind of how it softens, the screen. It softens the visuals of what you see. Slight artifacting on a few things, but nothing horrible. And again, I understand what I'm playing, so I was not judging the visuals that way. Because trust me, I have the uncompressed B-roll, and which is on my YouTube channel right now. I took some of that footage and put it up. Oh, we're fine. We're fine. I'm not concerned at all. And again, I go back to people like SkillUp who actually got to play hands-on at an event and sit down in front of a computer and play.
Right.
And they say the visuals are fine. It looks mm-hmm. great, which I'll pause on that. They were playing on a 2080 Ti at 1080p with DLSS 2.0 and yes. RTX on. This is why I was joking about the NVIDIA stuff before. It's very clear. Look, we already know The Witcher 3. That thing is a resource hog as well. I'm pretty sure if you want to do RTX with Cyberpunk 2077 at 1440p and especially at 4K, we're gonna need to start dipping into the 3080 cards for sure. It's going to be intensive, to do that. And obviously, I know the Amper cards are going to have allegedly 4x performance doing ray tracing anyways. So we'll see when those cards come out. This is all speculation. But if you're running up with a 2080 Ti thinking you're going to do 4K 60 frames and ray tracing on, no, you're not. It's not happening. I don't think that's happening.
I'm curious because I play a 1440 and I'm totally yeah. happy playing a 1440. I'm wondering yeah. if there's a performance dip or not, because I'll be playing on my 2080 Ti on 1440. So I'm curious if that experience will be almost as good, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. We clearly the game isn't optimized yet. So I'm just speaking on it in its current state. It will be optimized by the time we get to November. They've clearly not said any PC specs yet. And I do kind of think they're waiting until these Amper cards come out because they're partnering with NVIDIA before they start saying anything. 1440 on a 2080 Ti might be able to do it. I just wouldn't hold my breath expecting it. And I'm talking with ray tracing on. I think if you turn ray tracing off, a 2080 Ti, even at 60 frames in 4K, probably works, I would imagine. But ray tracing is going to just be such a resource hog that if you're trying to do that, even with DLSS 2.0, turned on, you're going to need some horsepower under there. But again, speculating, I don't know anything. We'll see once they officially start talking about all that stuff.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So I know sites like Tom's Hardware has, you know, like a minimum or a recommended spec list of, you know, you have to have a 10700K or a 2080 Super for the recommended. And that's to highlight that you will be playing with DLSS 2.0 and ray tracing on. Whereas if you start looking at comparison sites across the board, they all say that you should have somewhere around a 1070 or a 2060 at minimum, but don't expect to have all the extra NVIDIA perks on top of that. So I'm curious again, running at 1440, because I know your experience and those that were on the gameplay sessions were playing on 2080 Ti's, which both of us have. Will 1440 allow me, someone like me who plays on 1440, will that allow me to play using DLSS 2.0 and ray tracing with less impact as if I was trying to go 4K 60?
And you should obviously, you know, 4K is what, 2x performance of 1440p, I believe, something crazy like that. But anyways, I'm just speculating crazy, obviously, because we don't know, but I think 1440p with DLSS 2.0 and ray tracing, you're probably okay. You probably can hit 60, but we'll see. I mean, when it comes out, I just know 4K. Forget that. It's not going to happen. It's not. It's just not going to happen. This thing is going to be too resource intensive to be able to hit that. But seeing this game running in ray tracing, even over cloud streaming, like there was, like, I remember being in Lizzie's bar and you look at Jackie at certain points and you just see the way the lighting is in there. It's phenomenal. And that's over a stream. At a 1080p stream over the internet, and it looked that good. So imagine having the actual hardware in your house and playing it on your screen. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Nice. Okay, so aside from that, I know we talked about, was it the car driving hardware? Did your session, did it have the DLSS 2.0 and ray tracing on and active?
Ray tracing was definitely on. That I know. I don't know if they were doing DLSS 2.0. Again, I'm streaming it, you know, from a cloud server, so I don't know if it even needed to do that. I have no idea. Right. But it looked great, even on the cloud. Even, like I said, Parsec was where I played 95% of the game versus GeForce Now, and yeah, it looked fine.
Were you able to go through the verticality? Because I know that was a big thing that they talked about leading into it, that it wasn't just a linear, you're on the ground level of building. So you could go all the way up to like the top floors and stuff like that?
Yes and no. Yes, the game is definitely vertical. And the only example I have of this is V's apartment complex. You see this in the demo when you come out and you can kind of look up and you just see how vertical it is. And I was joking with the dev. I go, you know, I always watch this damn demo probably 1,000 times. And I'm always like, I want to go talk to this person. I want to go talk to that person. Or I want to go up the stairs or do whatever. And we're laughing because I say, guess what? I'm doing it. That's exactly what I did. So you can't go all the way to the top of V's apartment. Only certain floors are available in her apartment. And that varies depending on the buildings throughout the game, from what he told me. But the NPC interactions that were in there were great. I even picked up a couple quests inside of her apartment as well. But there is definitely a vertical aspect to the game, both in the buildings and going underground as well. And we obviously have the Badlands as well. So there's a lot. The game's bigger than you may think it is just looking at a map, not to mention it was already freaking big just being in it. I'm like, my God. And I was pretty much only in Watson and I'm like, wow, this game is huge. It's big. There's going to be so much. There's six distinct districts in the game. And then the Badlands would be like your seventh district as well. So it's going to be huge. There's going to be so much in there. Arasaka Tower. There is a Witcher 3 Ciri Easter egg in there. I saw it. And that was a cool thing too. I won't say where or what. You'll find it on your own, but it's there. I saw it.
It's funny because that brings it back to the conversation we had, I think it was a year ago, when we were wondering if there was going to be some kind of, are they in the same shared universe, et cetera? And so hearing that kind of ties that same universe, because she does do time travel in The Witcher 3, or not time travel, but she has the vision of, you know, cars in the sky, et cetera, in the future. So that's cool how that ties together and all that.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I know I already talked about it for 41 minutes. I'm about to damn near talk about it for 41 minutes again. The game, like I said, Night City is incredible. We're in good hands. Let's put it this way. My anticipation that I had 2 years ago is just as high, if not more, today after playing it. It's the best way I can put it. I'm, if not more, excited now for, not to mention, we're also getting Cyberpunk Edgerunners, the anime coming from Studio Trigger in 2022. I threw up a quick video about that yesterday, but here's my theory on this. So we're getting Cyberpunk, obviously, this year, knock on wood. 2021 into 2022 is going to be the expansions, right? They're going to do the DLC and the expansions. End of 2022 is most likely your multiplayer. Edgerunners is basically another way of saying V is an Edgerunner, by the way. So Edgerunners is just multiple Vs running around Night City, aka the multiplayer. So I kind of think my theory is this is Edgerunners is almost going to be like a prologue or a prelude to the multiplayer coming out. The fact that it's in 2022, I think it literally sets up the multiplayer for Cyberpunk 2077. We'll watch the anime and go right on into being Edgerunners ourselves in the game, doing multiplayer stuff.
Is it set in 2077? I know the release is in 2022.
They haven't said that.
They haven't said that.
They haven't said that, but they've, I think, watching the video. Wait, did they? Now I can't remember. I can't remember if they said set in 2077. They just said it's its own standalone story in Night City.
Okay.
But again, they're obviously working directly with CD Projekt Red on this. So even if it's not 2077, it at least will, like I'm saying, will set up the world that they're most likely going to have in multiplayer, which, by the way, that's another thing. When you do your story, when you pick your origins, your lifestyle, I was a corpo, but there's a nomad and a street kid. So you have three different starting points in the game. I believe the nomad starts in the Badlands as a corpo. I started in Arasaka Tower. I'm not sure where the street kid starts, but it's 6 years before the events of 2077, because as a corpo, when it ends, Jackie offers to help me, because it's almost like Metroid, where I get stripped of all my cybernetic powers and I have to start over. There will be a video montage from that moment till you get to the tutorial where you're sitting in the car with Jackie, kind of a 6 years of the adventures of Jackie and V. That's going to happen as well. I didn't get to see it, but they did say it will be in the game when we get the final product. So
nice.
just a FYI on that. Not every, the entire game does not happen in 2077.
Okay. I know. So. Did you get to see like a day to night or night to day transition in game? Cause I know in the vehicle session, it's daylight, which is not something that they focused on or highlighted a lot of. So did you see the transition to that, and was it smooth, and did it feel kind of like in game, or did it feel like a real life transition, or was it just like does it cut into a cutscene and then you come out and it's dark?
No cutscenes. Remember, no load times in this. There is definitely a day night cycle in there. You can see the transition from day to night, night to day. There is weather in there as well. There was a story element that happened at Lizzie's bar at a certain time. So I had to do, it's very similar to Witcher 3, where, you know, Geralt can meditate and move time forward. You can also move time forward as well to get to a specific time point. But yes, I have seen Night City during the day. I have seen Night City during the night, and it rained at one point, when I was messing around. So the game looks great.
Okay. So, now I want to dive into environmentals, and you said there was rain. Does it give you the wet, like, face shield feeling? Like, you know how, like, in some games, like, you'll go into an area where it starts to rain and then you have like water splashes on your screen, or do you not have that?
Did not notice that.
Okay.
And I was messing around with changing time when this happened. So I didn't spend a lot of time in it because I'm just trying to do everything I can. So I didn't notice that specifically. I just was like, oh, it rains. That was kind of it. And then I moved on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Any other questions?
I'm trying to think. All right. So I'm going to steal one from the chat. What was the inventory management like? Can you talk about that first?
I can talk about everything I saw. Okay. Similar to Witcher 3. So let me take it from this standpoint. When I was doing the Maelstrom gang, you know, I was in the hideout to get the Flathead, and the shootout ensued, and now I'm starting to kill gang members to get out. They drop loot. So similar to Witcher 3, you can go over their body, you can do like loot all, and you're picking up gear and weapons and things from them. At that point, that was really when I started to mess around in the inventory screen, because they were dropping basically like your jacket is considered armor. You know, you have your boots, your legs, your shirt, stuff like that. So they have stats and perks on them that you can pick up. There's like, you know, there's the common, it's very, you know, a kind of a Destiny thing. There's like common, rare, legendary, and then I guess exotic, if you want to call it whatever the name of it'll be in the game. But I was able to pick up certain weapons and certain pieces of clothing to upgrade my armor. And at that point I would hop in the inventory system, and then, yeah, there's slots for everything, and you can go see what you have. You can compare the different perks, like, okay, this gun is at this stat, it compares to this one I might equip. It'll let you know which one is better, you know, statistically, and then you can choose from there, stuff like that. So again, if you played The Witcher 3, very similar to that.
Hopefully that answers the questions for those that were that were wondering, because I know there was,
yeah,
it's seeing it in the chat is not the first time I've seen that question. So
yeah. Oh, and one other thing I'll talk about here. Again, it's all in a preview, so apologies for not remembering the damn names of the stuff. It's like you try to write notes and play at the same time. It's crazy. There was after I did the Maelstrom gang hideout thing, I had the option to go to the Afterlife bar, meet up with Dexter Deshawn. That kind of ends the demo. But instead, I explored a little bit more. So leaving there, I come out, I encounter an NPC in the world. I'm forgetting the name. It's in the preview, but I encounter an NPC in the world that basically hunts down and kills cops in Night City. There's multiple of these in here. So this one had a sniper rifle, and literally in front of me from a distance, he kills a cop in front of me. Right. So I engage him. I wind up killing this guy. He drops the sniper rifle so I can take it. And it had super high stats on it, the whole thing. So that's kind of there's these roaming NPCs and elites in Night City that you can basically kind of go on these manhunts for. And you obviously pick up street cred for that. Some are obviously going to drop gear that you want, things of that nature. So even outside the main story, even outside just the typical side quest, there will be in-world events that you can participate in, and obviously, like I said, gain experience and gear from that too.
So they're like public events, basically, like we experienced
in a way,
stuff like that. Okay. Do you get encumbered by the more stuff you pick up, or do you have like that magic bag of holding?
No, I'm pretty sure you can. I obviously didn't have enough gear to become encumbered, but I'd be surprised if you didn't. I can't remember off the top of my head if I actually saw that in the inventory screen, but I would assume you do.
Nice. Okay. All right. Let's see. So I think there's another question in here. How did the city feel in comparison to games like Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption? I know you had a tweet response to someone.
Jesus, who asked. That tweet. Okay.
Well, let's stick to the core question, right? Like the open world experience. How did that feel? Did it feel akin to or similar to games like GTA or Red Dead Redemption? Did the openness feel warranted, or did you feel kind of closed in, or so on and so forth?
It's, and I can say this, and the game's not even out yet, it is the best open world that you will ever experience, or so far, until someone tops it. This will be the new king. For me, and I said this in a tweet, the best open worlds I've experienced so far have been The Witcher 3, Red Dead Redemption 2, and I said GTA 5. People got mad at me for saying GTA 5 and said I should have said Watch Dogs 2, but I disagree, and it's my opinion. So, it's great. No, it feels very open, and like I said at the top, it feels alive. This world is going on without you. You are just another guy in this world. you are not the center of attention of everything that's happening in this world. And the NPCs have their routines. They're having their own conversations. Like I said, the one of the coolest things about the game is eavesdropping, just eavesdropping and listening to these crazy ass conversations that's going on. You know, it's very funny. Another thing that happened when I was in the game, there was a police, like a crime scene. They had things taped off and like they were doing some kind of investigation, and I got too close and it triggered whatever. And the police wound up killing me. That was like the first time I died in the game. They shot and killed me. Which, by the way, trauma team. So from the E3 2018 demo, when you're doing the, you know, you're acquiring the extraction of the girl and trauma team gets her, they tell you to back up in the demo. So now they've added in, if they tell you to back up and you don't comply, they will shock out of you and put you on the ground.
I was just about to ask you about if you had any experiences, good or bad, with trauma team. Because that team, if you've become familiar with the lore, they're like the militia, they're like medic militias, and they will take nothing. They have no problems shocking you or putting you down if you do not comply. So that's cool.
Yeah. Which, side note on that, there is a comic that's coming out about trauma team, which I think is going to be really cool. And I'd said this on IGN as well. Like, I would love to see in an expansion or a DLC where maybe we become a part of trauma team and we see things from their point of view and all that. I think it would be really cool. But yeah, but it was also funny when trauma team shocks you, Jackie reacts to that and was like, see, you should have listened. You know, like he tells you, you know, but that's what's cool about it. There's so many just little interaction stuff that's going on. And by the way, I am an idiot. I have to say this up front, and let me get his correct name right now. Jackie Cyberpunk 2077 voice actor, because I am an idiot. And I just have to say this now. I have said multiple times, and no one's corrected me until recently, that John DiMaggio is the voice of Jackie. No, I am dumb. It is Jason Hightower. Look, he just sounds like him, clearly. Why? I don't know how that got in my head that it was him. I think someone said it, and I just ran with it. But
I don't know if I would agree with that. I don't think he sounds like John DiMaggio at all.
Hey, my opinion, have your own. I'm just telling you what I thought. The point is here, I'm calling myself an idiot. Just go with it, please. I am an idiot.
Okay.
It is Jason Hightower. It is not John DiMaggio. But the reason I bring that up is Jason Hightower as Jackie, he literally steals the show in the demo. Absolutely. All the interactions with Jackie, like to see him, like he flirts with a cop at one point, which is hilarious. And then his banter with Misty when you go see the Ripper doc, because they clearly got some kind of relationship going on. He calls his mom at one point on the phone. Oh, it's great. He's freaking great. I hope. So I'll say this, and I know we've talked a ton of Cyberpunk.
That's okay.
The event, like the No-Tell Motel, is in the game, right? So, and this is from the E3 2019 trailer, you know, where Dexter Deshaun shoots V. Jackie dies in that trailer, right? The events that I went through in the demo are leading up to that specific mission to go get the biochip tech, which I'm pretty sure is Johnny Silverhand. It's Jackie and I. We literally get in that cab to go on that mission and the demo ends. I really hope Jackie doesn't die, but they could be setting it up that those events from the trailer actually play out. And that's like, because this is the prologue. So that would be the end of the prologue. And now you're into the main game. Dexter Deshaun shoots you. You have Johnny Silverhand, and away we go. Because I'm telling you, he's so good. I just hope he sticks around for a long time in the game. So we'll see. Which, by the way, you see in the trailer that came out during Night City Wire, that Johnny Silverhand, they show a sizzle reel at the end of the demo that's different than the trailer. And then you see Johnny Silverhand at the end and he says the F-bomb. Clearly that's Johnny realizing, oh crap, I'm digital. Like I think that's the first time he realizes he's no longer alive and he's a digital apparition. But that was totally cool. Which again, going back to the original voicemail, all of this, just look at Johnny Silverhand in that moment compared to 2019. That's all you need to know, that the graphics have been upgraded in the game.
Right. Well, and like we could dive back into the Jackie dying thing. That could probably be an instance where you jump in and you have to do brain dancing. Try to figure out how, why, you know, et cetera. Why did he die or who killed him? But
I can tell you who killed him, because just from the way the mission's going, it was most likely Arasaka. Right. That's who killed them, because you're stealing this chip.
Their tech.
Yeah, you're stealing the tech from them. So, oh yeah, that's pretty sure he died in a shootout with them trying to get away.
My question with the brain dancing stuff, I know, I remember you mentioned it was akin to like the detective mode in Batman mm-hmm. Arkham Knights and stuff like that. But do you is it a requirement in the game? Like, are the parts that you have to do for those brain dancing, are those main quest missions or those side quest missions?
We don't know. The one that I did with Evelyn seems like it would have been mandatory for that. Well, but I guess it could have been option. See, this goes back to what I'm saying. I now know where the biotech chip is inside Arasaka's penthouse because I did brain dance. But is that optional? Is there another alternative where I just go in there and have to find it real time? I don't know. That I don't know. Because again, this is obviously the first time you're setting it up to kind of understand what brain dance is and how to use it in practice and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't know if I want to keep asking questions because I don't want to like ruin the experiences for myself. Right. I don't want to leave them for myself to live and breathe.
Yeah. Okay. We've literally gone an hour here and all we talked about was The Last of Us and Cyberpunk. So I think this is a good stopping point anyways. So feedback again, anyone that wants to leave us feedback, you can do it this way.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we didn't get to the rest of the voicemails. We obviously only played two for The Last of Us and Cyberpunk, but keep leaving us voicemail, keep sending us email. We'll have another episode where we just deep dive into all of that. I know we had one that was talking about Lockhart and all the crazy rumors and stuff that was going down, which, by the way, Aaron Greenberg squashed the Fable and Perfect Dark rumor that popped on Twitter via Tom Warren because they found some placeholder Twitter accounts, and he was like, I know people are super excited and thirsty for information, but we do this all the time with our intellectual property, so don't look into it any further than that. But with that said, Fable is clearly the worst kept secret in the world, and I fully expect to see it in July, and it would not shock me at all to see Perfect Dark either, and I hope we do, because it has been 15 years since we've had Joanna Dark, and she needs to come back.
Yeah, that's gotta be market speak. You know, protecting themselves, you know, from, so that's, I know he mentioned that it was just done. It was just purchased for that. But you know, Danny's in the chat saying that it was created this month and it was an old account. So,
Perfect Dark One was created this month. Right. The Fable one was old. March, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else, Pete? I think we've talked so much.
It's not video game related, but did you see the trailer for season 2 of The Boys?
No, because I've not seen the first season of The Boys yet.
That's it. I'm done. All right. Good night.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just like, I've said this multiple times. I have to watch it. You know what? That was on my list to watch, and then the wife and I started watching Billions. So I've been watching Billions every night, so I haven't watched it yet.
Actually, I haven't even watched any of Billions. Is that any good?
Oh, yeah. The first season's been pretty good so far. Like I said, I'm so far behind, obviously. But it's been good so far. It definitely piqued our interest. I'm going to keep watching.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's all I have then for this week.
All right. Well, like I said, this was clearly the Last of Us / Cyberpunk episode. So thank everyone for listening to this. Like I said, Danny will be back. We got a lot of content coming here in the near future, and I'll just say on a side note, I'm going to be selfish for a second and simply say thank you, Danny and Pete, because what you guys did 2 years ago and a year ago set up everything that has happened this week for me. If it was not for you guys doing what you did, there is no hands-on with Cyberpunk. There is no IGN appearances. There is no YouTube channel, which has exploded because of said content. I am always going to be forever thankful, forever grateful. You know, I love both of you. And yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks with just a lot of opportunities coming my way, and I'm will be forever thankful of that. You know, I tend to say a lot that, hey, I'm very lucky. Clearly luck has something to play in everything that we do, because it's the luck of opportunities coming before you. But when an opportunity does come, you got to put in the work. You got to put in the actual hard work to sure. make those things happen. They aren't just given to you. And when you do have an opportunity, you got to seize it and you got to freaking run with it. And that's just what I'm trying to do right now.
Yep.
Look, I it blows my mind when I think of it this way. Go look at all the Cyberpunk hands-on impressions that have happened this week. What's the one thing about all of them that I stand out from? I had no business being there compared, because it was a lot of big sites. It was huge YouTubers like RX that got those opportunities. And then here's a little old me getting a chance to jump in and do that. So I'm very thankful to CD Projekt Red for giving me the opportunity, because, you know, they didn't have to. They absolutely did not have to do that. And what was I going to do? Get mad? Of course I wasn't. It was just, it is what it is. So I appreciate them having enough faith in me to allow me the opportunity to see their game, to be one of the first people in the world to see their game and to be able to comment on it and talk about it to the world. So, yeah, I'm just, again, I'm just very thankful for these opportunities. And like I kept saying on IGN the whole time, hey, I hope I don't screw this up. that's all you can do. But just trying to be myself, and I hope people enjoyed what I put out, and I appreciate all the feedback.
No. You earned it. Again, I said this in the pre-show when we were getting ready to set, when we were getting set up. You've put in the work. You've put in the effort. These are just the benefits and the rewards for all the effort that you've put into your anticipation and the coverage that you've been putting across. You've been doing a hell of a job. Your videos, your commentary, your reviews, your unbiased opinion, even though they sent you that chair, which if you're starting to feel bad about it, feel free to send it over. I'll take it. But I mean, you put in the effort, you put in the work. These are just the fruits of your labor. So enjoy it. Accept it. I know it's difficult to take praise. I'm the same mentality and same personality. It's hard to hear other people give you kudos sometimes. And so, I mean, drink the Kool-Aid, dude. You earned it.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, I do have a very hard time. You know what? Let's wrap this up. We'll talk about this in the after show. So, again, thank you everyone for watching live on Twitch. Thank you everyone that's been downloading and been listening to the podcast. Keep leaving us feedback. We really appreciate this. This has been episode 1043 of Gamertag Radio. That's crazy. I'm Paris. I know it's insanity. I'm Paris. I'm the captain. No interruptions from Danny this week. You see how the episode was just, there was no interruptions.
See,
did you speak and all that? That's what you get, Danny. You earn this. Stop interrupting people. But this is episode 1043. I'm Paris S. Pete, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.